This is often considered the most extended presentation of the subject of the resurrection in the whole of the New Testament, and now we come to the concluding application of it. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep or remain in death, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." This evening, the choir will be bringing us 9 selections. 6 of these are based upon the text of 1 Corinthians 15. And 5 of the 6, surprisingly, are based upon these last few verses that we've been reading. And as we mentioned, this is the application. As the Apostle Paul writes here, he's saying, now what does the resurrection of Jesus mean for you? And so what I want to do in just a couple of moments this evening is bring out 3 of the very practical applications of the resurrection of Jesus for us. The first one is in verse 51, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed." We're all going to be changed. Because Jesus is risen, we will be changed. Now imagine a lot of you are saying, oh, I can just think of somebody who ought to be changed. In fact, I can think of some people in here in the congregation who would be wonderful if they got changed a bit. Oh, we can let our minds go and we can have a wonderful scenario. But of course, what it says here is that we will all be changed. We all need to be changed. Now, thank God, by the work of the Holy Spirit that the risen Lord Jesus gives, there is a change going on in our lives. But here it is speaking of that last glorious final day when Jesus Christ returns, when he takes us into his eternal kingdom, and as he does, he's going to change us so we can be fit to live and serve him in that kind of situation and environment. Our body's going to be changed. Those of us who have unwell bodies, and who of us doesn't in one way or another, we're going to find a change of body. We're going to find a change in what we might call the dimension of our body. Like Jesus Christ, we're going to have what's called a spiritual body, which doesn't mean a ghost-like body or a wraith-like body. It means a body in which the Holy Spirit is able fully to work through, and a body which is fully adapted to the work and life and service of God's eternal kingdom. We're going to be changed. We're going to have a new body. It'll have lots of continuity with the one we've got. But nonetheless, there's going to be great change. We're going to have a change in personality. Some of us are born with a personality that's terribly self-conscious. We're almost crippled by it. We're paralyzed by it. We are so conscious of ourselves. because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and his power and his coming again, we're going to have new personalities. Some of us have very negative personalities. We always see the bad side of anything. Somebody says the glass is half full. We say, no, it's half empty. There is no subject that comes across our minds that we can't see the negative side of. And sometimes we despair of ourselves, but thank God a change is coming. If we always see the worst side of everything, one day we're going to be changed. And then there are those of us who are the big D's. You know what a big D is? A big driver. Nothing stands in the way. We sure get the work done. But oh my goodness, we hurt an awful lot of people on the way. Almost totally insensitive to the feelings of other people. There's going to be a change. The resurrected Lord Jesus, when he returns again, is going to prepare us for that wonderful new and eternal dimension of life. He's going to change our character. Characters that have been so greedy, so proud, so self-centered, are going to be honest and loving and aware. Spiritually, we're going to be changed so we want to do the will of God. Oh, how we all struggle with doing what God wants us to do. Lord God, you are my Lord, but please let me do my own thing. But we're going to be changed so that to do God's will is going to be the greatest joy and delight of our lives. Number one, the positive outworking of the resurrection is that we're going to be changed. We've got so much to look forward to as Christians. What a wonderful future we have. The next thing we notice here is that we're to be thankful. Verse 57, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful people are always nice to be around, aren't they? Conversely, what a drag and what a grind it is to have complaining people. People who are always moaning and groaning, and oh dear, you could use worse words than that. But how wonderful it is that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because of the victory that has been accomplished in our Lord's rising from the dead, we can be thankful that the risen Jesus is with us, he's in us, he goes ahead of us. There is no point in our lives that Jesus is not there in all his grace and his risen life. Thankful people. A great characteristic of genuine Christianity is a spirit of true thankfulness always there in our lives. The third practical outworking is, of course, in verse 58, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Be active. Be active because since Jesus has risen, every bit of work and service for him is not in vain. Because Jesus has triumphed in his resurrection, his will is going to be done, and through our work for him, we have a part in that. Now, of course, sometimes we say, but to work for Jesus is hard. We don't always see the results of what we're doing. I think that's true in our own day. Here in North America, in Western society, it is not overly productive to serve Jesus Christ. But of course, as a congregation, with all of our missionary commitments, we've got another viewpoint entirely. And that is, this is the most wonderful day to be working for Jesus Christ in other parts of the world. It's so productive. It's so obviously productive. All we have to do is ask our missionaries. All we have to do is ask Christians who come from Korea and from Hong Kong and from Taiwan and from the Philippines and from Singapore and Malaysia and on and on and on. And then we go to sub-Saharan Africa. And then we go to parts of Latin America, and they say the most wonderful things are happening today. In the name of Jesus and in his body, the church. That encourages us to be active. But of course, if God is blessing and pouring out his Spirit in other parts of the world today, we're just waiting for our time. Aren't you? Aren't you looking forward to the day when God is going to pour out his Spirit upon us here in North America and in Canada, just as he is doing in all the other countries of the world? Think God is going to bless some countries and leave others? No, indeed. And yet, if God's reviving of his church in Canada may not come in our lifetime, still, because Jesus is risen from the dead, we carry on. And our labor is not in vain in the Lord, because we know that in God's grace, wonderful days are coming in the future. These, as I see it, are just some of the very practical results of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead.